I'm addict named Lynn.
Amen.
I'm clean through God's grace in the program of Narcotics Anonymous. And it says you got to read the speaker pamphlet. The NA member chosen to speak at a meeting needs to be someone who is working and living the NA program of recovery, which is the 12 steps and 12 traditions. In areas where there is not an abundance of NA members with substantial clean time or experience with the 12 steps and 12 traditions, there is the possibility that a group inexperienced in Narcotics Anonymous may misunderstand NA traditions and invite speakers from outside the NA fellowship. There are several ways to avoid this situation. Our basic text, for instance, reminds us that NA members from other areas are willing to drive long distances to support new groups. The speaker helps fulfill the group's primary purpose, carrying the message of recovery to the addict who still suffers. When speaking at an NA meeting, we should be careful to deliver a clear message of recovery by identifying ourselves as addicts recovering from the disease of addiction. It is not necessary to dwell excessively on our active addiction or war stories because we all know what it was like to use. We came to Narcotics Anonymous to stop using, and we are here to share our experience, strength, and hope of recovery. Again, my name is Lynn. I'm an addict.
Hey, Lynn.
And I said I'm clean through God's grace in the program of Narcotics Anonymous, and my topic is denial. And, like, it's funny because I ain't in no denial right now. I'm sleepy as hell. I'm tired. It's 1 o'clock, you know, and it's late. And, like, honesty is one of my main things that I practice nowadays. I practice being honest because, like, when I first came around this program, it was real hard for me to stay clean. And, like, somebody told me, if you get honest, you'll stay clean. So, like, I'm going to try to practice honesty. And, like, honestly, you know, they said 1 o'clock. You know, like, at 1 o'clock, like, I done wind down. The makeup done got old. You know, I done took the cute girl clothes and shit off, you know. So, like, I'm like, well, I'm sitting in a chair up front, sleep, you know, and I'm like, you know, so my husband said, well, you're supposed to share at 1 o'clock, and I looked at the, you know, I was in the chair asleep, because, like, I ain't no real, real late person, you know, but I don't know, I try to stay with my commitments when I make a commitment in Narcotics Anonymous, you know, and then they told me that my topic was one thing, so I've been can't practice it, but I was, all weekend I was saying, okay, this is my topic. So I was like deciphering some stuff and trying to analyze it and, you know, try to be that profile speaker and shit and all that, you know, make sure my words come out right and all that. But, like, God had another plan and he gave me the subject, the topic, denial, you know, and, like, and I'm not in a lot of denial about a lot of things, but I can share about some things that I was in great denial about, you know. I've been around this fellowship like a little over 9 years and, like, that's beyond my wildest dream. And, like, one of the biggest things that I was in denial about when I came around this program, after I got clean about a while, was that relationship with my daughter. You know, and I don't know whether or not this has anything to do with denial, but, like, I didn't know how to do that mother and daughter thing. You know, because, like, I had my daughter when I was incarcerated, you know, and I didn't have that mother. I don't know about nobody else, but if you ain't raised a child and changed some pampers at that diaper age and all that stuff, it's a little something missing there. You know, so when I came home the first time, my daughter was 3.5 years old, you know, and I didn't have that mother and daughter bond, and I didn't know how. So I, like, stayed in a lot of denial about that. You know, I was ashamed and didn't, like, know how to ask nobody, you know. And I can remember when I came around, they said, get a God of your own understanding. So I got with a guy of my own understanding and asked him to help me figure that thing out. So, you know, I can remember one time when she got lost, we went to the beach and my baby got lost. And if you're a mother, right, and you got little kids and you think something gonna happen to them, that's how you supposed to react. Because, I mean, I, like, lost my mind almost, you know. And, like, that was the first time that I knew that I really had a genuine love for my daughter. But, like, the part about coming out of denial was discussing that with other women, like being able to tell somebody, like, openly and honestly, I did not know how to love my daughter, you know. I don't know, like, I used to be in denial when I first came around this program. I was in denial about a lot of things, like, I'm like my sister, you know, my family, you know, relationships, you know, like, I was in denial about, like, really where I come from, because, like, I say I'm not from a dysfunctional family, and I really don't think I am. I'm from a single family home, you know, and I don't know, that denial thing is something else, because, like, I guess I'm in, most part I'm in denial, maybe it's about me. You know, like, because I'm not in denial anymore about the shopping thing. You know, I'm not in denial about how I act. You know, I am in denial about, I'm in denial when it comes to, like, accepting the part that I play. You know, like, where, as far as, like, my husband is concerned. You know, I'll point the finger at him a lot about some things, you know, and like I have a sponsor, a loving, caring sponsor, right, that tells me like you need to get out of denial because that's your shit, you know. So I don't know, I guess I'll be in denial about me. I don't know, sometimes it's hard for me to do like this topic thing, you know, because like denial for me is like knowing something, not accepting it. You know it's true, but you don't want to accept it, you know, you just being in denial, you know. That's, it's real, real simple, you know, and like I don't know. Like I said, it's 1 o'clock in the morning, you know, and I'm not really lost for words because I was just back there, right? Because I was just back there sharing with a couple people and I had already did the speaker thing, you know, because it started late and, you know, wasn't nobody coming showing up. So before I knew it, I was back there in the back of the room and I had already had a meeting. We had already went through the denial thing, you know, cut and dry, you know. You know, because like I said, I'm not in denial about who I am anymore. You know, that's the one good thing I have found out about me. You know, I'm not arrogant, you know. I'm self-centered, right? And that's the core of our disease. And I think everybody is to a certain extent, right? But I have gotten so much better, you know. And I'm just not in denial about who I am anymore. This is me, you know, and I tell people, this is me. I like to look nice all the time. I think I'm cute, you know, and that's just who I am. But I don't offend nobody with that, you know. I don't hate on nobody. I love to see women get stuff. I love nice things. I like to see women with jewelry. I like to see them with cars. I like to see them in fancy clothes and nice smelling perfume, you know. That's just like who I am, you know. I ain't in denial about that, you know, like I shop. You know, and I'm not in denial no more, like I shop compulsively sometimes, you know. I get caught up, you know, but I've gotten so much better, you know, because, like, the convention is my time. You know, I do that thing, you know. I like to go shopping, you know. I like me a little Friday outfit, you know. I like me something real nice for the banquet, you know. And, like, I like an excuse to buy something, you know. So like I use a convention once a year, you know, to buy something, you know. I don't know, I just like to stay in the stores anyway, but I'm not in denial about that no more, you know. I don't know, I believe like this program, if you do what you're supposed to do in this program, it will help you in areas, in all areas of your life, you know, in all areas of your life. I don't know, you know, like I have a sister, you know, and I stayed in so much denial about my sister. You know, I have a couple sisters, family members that use, you know, and I stayed in so much denial about it. You know, that was one of my biggest things about denial, is accepting some of my family members for what they were, you know. And I got locked and loaded about it because, like I said, I just couldn't believe that this disease had such a grip on my family, inside my family, you know. But like with God's grace, you know, my sister, she was here tonight and she had like 6 days, you know, and it was such a wonderful feeling, you know. I don't know, because like I surrendered to my sister when I celebrated 9 years, you know, because like I was in denial about her. I was in so much denial about my sister that I jeopardized my recovery, because like I knew she was active and all that, and we would get together, you know, and like and it's nothing to brag about, and sometimes I'd be ashamed about it, but I'm not. But like in the 9 years that I've been clean, I don't think my sister ever had a sick day, you know. And like that's because I was such an enabler, you know. I love my family, you know. Like my mother died 2 years ago, right, and that was all I had. You know, not all I had, but I didn't have a father, you know. So, like, when my mother died, it devastated me because it was so unexpectedly, you know. And, like, I thank God that I didn't stay in denial about that. I knew my mother was gone, and I knew she wasn't coming back, you know. And I didn't use, you know. But I think if I would have been in some denial about that, I might have would have used, you know. But, like, I wasn't, you know. And, like, I don't know, like, since my mom has been gone, right, God has given me, like, so many people, right? Like I got a sponsor, right? And I don't know why I'm sharing about it, because this is denial, but like she helps me with this denial thing, you know. But like I have a sponsor, right? And because somebody said The other day we was talking about something. They were saying about replacing your mom, right? And you can never replace your mother, right? But like God has put a person in my life that is so like loving, caring, and understanding. Another woman, you know, like my mother was loving, caring, and understanding. And like I'm 45 years old, and it's a lot of things that I didn't get to discuss with my mom. You know, like I'm not newly married, but like I've been married 5 years, you know, and like it's some things that I need to my mother for, you know, and like God put other people in my life. But I'm gonna talk a little bit about my sponsor, right? Because on a lot of days I get so locked and loaded, right? You know, I hate to say that, Sam, but that's how it is. You know, I get so locked and loaded and jammed up about life itself, you know, like situations, you know, like I guess I can come somewhere out of denial. Like I ain't in denial no more about like paying my bills. My life was so unmanageable, you know. I was in credit card debt, you know, up to my neck, you know, because I was so unmanageable. And I was in denial about it. I was really in denial about it because I was the type that would get paid and not pay my bills just to have the money in my pocket, you know. But I would be in denial that something was wrong with that, you know. But like working with a sponsor, like doing some things, I'm not in denial. Like now I pay my bills. You know, and that might sound small to somebody else, but that thing was hard for me. I'm telling you, that thing was hard for me to pay my bills on time. You know, if the bill due the 8th and I got the money on the 2nd, I'm not paying it until the 8th. You know, and somewhere along the line, our manageability will come in where I'll spend the money, come short of the money. You know, so like now, it's some practices that I've been doing, like pay my bills on time. Because like I have a job, you know, and it ain't the world's best job, but it's a job, you know. And it's you know, I like it. You know, I like it. I don't know, y'all. You know, like, usually I'm not tongue-tied. You know, usually I can share because I'm a talker. You know, but it's 1 o'clock in the morning. It's 1 o'clock in the morning. And I, like, been up all day, and I done ran my mouth all day. You know, I done ran my mouth all day. So, like, you know, and then somebody just said it's 2 o'clock because of time going back, you know. I don't know, but, like, I came around this program, like, 9 years ago, you know, and I just thank God why, since I've been here, right, I've learned that a lot of stuff that I did, you know, in my addiction, I did it because I was in my addiction. But, like, now I'm responsible for my recovery. You know what I'm saying? I'm responsible for everything I do now. You know, so like I try not to be in as much denial as people say I am, because a lot of people say that you be in denial about stuff, or you in denial about this, denial about that. You know, I don't know. You know, I used to be in denial, but like now I don't really see me being in a lot of denial. I try to stay out of denial. I mean, I'll go into denial, but like somewhere along the line before the day is out, I try to bring myself up out of it. You know, I'm not in denial about like, I'm not comfortable with my weight, and I'm not in denial about it. You know, I talk about it, you know, and I do something about it. You know, I'm not in denial that I wear a size 11. You know, I ain't in denial that I just ain't in denial about a lot of things. You know, I don't know, like, I'm not going to ramble on, you know, because that's just not me. You know, and right, I don't want to not give a clear message of recovery, but like for me, denial is like knowing I'm not in denial. I don't know. I keep saying that, y'all. I'm rumbling, and this thing is being taped, so I don't want to sound crazy. Thanks for letting me share.
Thanks for sharing.
And now we have our next speaker. Thank you, sis. And now we have our next speaker, Brother Rodney.
I'm an addict named Rodney.
Hi, Rodney.
Thank God for another day clean. Thank Lynn for the meeting before the meeting. Woke me up. And thank you for sharing. There's a lot to say about denial. And for the few of us that is in the room, I'm sure, you know, each of us could give our own definition or our own experience of what we have with, you know, that particular subject, denial. There's a lot to say about it. I'm going to piggyback off of Lynn. I like what she said when she talked about how her process of 9 years has brought her to a point where she can be herself and she has little denial. Not many people in Narcotics Anonymous can say that. But I understand what she's talking about, because you stay around here for a while, you get clean, And if you're still walking around here in denial, you know, in my experience, something's wrong. Mm-hmm. Something's wrong. It means some work is not being done. Because reality for us comes quick, you know, and it comes through a spiritual awakening, a rude awakening. It can come through an ass kick. It can come through, just many different forms, but we always get woke up to what reality is. And that's the opposite of denial. And then on the flip side, you know, I needed denial to protect me from some stuff. You know, I know that may sound warped, but think about it. I have actually needed to deny some stuff that I was not ready to accept and do whatever else I could do until I learned that denial was not going to be healthy for me. I'm going to go to the literature because it's late. And I'm just going to draw my experience. But I was reading this in the Step Working Guide, and it's in Step 1, and it talks about denial. There's a whole segment. And it says, denial is a part of our disease that tells us that we don't have a disease. When we are in denial, we are unable to see the reality of our addiction. We minimize its effect. We blame others, citing the too high expectations of families, friends, employers. We compare ourselves with other addicts whose addiction seems worse than our own. We may blame one particular drug. If we have been abstinent from drugs for some time, we might compare the current manifestation of our addiction with our drug use, rationalizing that nothing we do today could possibly be as bad as that was. One of the easiest ways to tell that we are in denial is when we find ourselves giving plausible but untrue reasons for our behavior. I'm going to share a recent experience about, you know, denial. I'm going to share a recent, I'm going to share how God got me through it, how I got the spiritual awakening. And while I was going through it, it wasn't so much that I was in denial. It was just I was refusing to acknowledge the truth. Recently, I have found myself in love. And also, because I'm now in love, you know, I live with the person. So I made a lot of decisions without a sponsor, mm-hmm. and really just based upon my feeling. This is what I want. Mm-hmm. I'm almost 40 years old. I want to be happy. Mm-hmm. I've gotten to a place where I don't hoe around no more. I can just do one. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So for me, that's a big accomplishment. That's my miracle. So I met someone. Not realizing that this is still Rodney. This is still the same person that God done cleaned up not using drugs. Mm-hmm. The only difference is I'm not a hoe and I'm not a trick. I can do one. Which is a major difference. But there's some other things that come along with who I am today. I'm a very giving person, extremely giving. When I get in a relationship and I'm just doing one, I love very hard. Mm-hmm. There ain't nothing easy about it, which means that my level of expectations are very high, which means that my standards have changed. So if I do something for you, I know how to do it unconditionally without pretending that I want something back. I'm not in denial about that. I have a big thing, though, with trust. Because my idea is, if I'm going to give you all of this, then I need to protect myself somehow from the darts that you're going to be throwing. So in the back of my mind, I form these, you know, ideologies about you, forgetting now how I am. I remember one day I was, my gut, and I believe that if you stay in Narcotics Anonymous long enough, you get that gut, and the gut don't lie. But I know for me, sometimes I'll deny what I'm feeling in my gut. I go, oh no, that's not true. They ain't messing around. But my gut will say, something ain't right with this. This is not normal. You know, it isn't normal for you to move someone in, both of y'all move in, both of your names is on the lease, but you're paying the rent. Something's not right with that picture. But my gut is saying this, but the other side of me, like the literature was just saying, is giving plausible reasons not to believe what my gut is telling me. So I go on day by day, and before I know it, days turn into weeks, weeks turn into months. And all I'm doing is just loving you with all I got. Last year, and this convention is very meaningful to me. Last year, my sponsor was at this convention, and it was one of the last times that I would see him. And I'm just kind of backing up, giving you like what it's like to make decisions and not be sponsored. And my sponsor died. Can someone give me some water? My mouth is getting dry, please. And so for a while, I have been making decisions like this without coming to the group, without going, you know, and I had a sponsor, but I wasn't really feeling close to them, so I wasn't going to tell them, you know, the decisions that I had chosen to make. And I figured, you know, my life was changing. Lynn was saying earlier how we get clean in Narcotics Anonymous and we should have something to show for it. And I was really happy to hear her say that. Ooh, I need some water badly. I was really happy to hear her say that because things are going on in my life that I've always wanted to go on in my life. And because I'm clean, I can live my life and I can share it now. So anyway, I met someone that I'm sharing my life with, and I'm not listening to the gut. I got a sponsor now. I started to talk to my sponsor. And in the back of my mind, something said, what you need to do, because you know the internet thing is real big these days. His ass is always on that internet. And you know how like when you live right, you feel good about it, but sometimes you're on a soapbox. That's how I get. Like, I'm like, you know I ain't messing around, and I'm doing my thing. And I would say this, you know, to him, and but in my gut, I would feel that feeling. So anyway, one day something came to mind. I said, well, why don't you get one of them spy things? And I don't know about how y'all think, but my thinking is perverted. So I said, well, shit, I couldn't afford no private eye, but that's what I was trying to. I said, well, I need to get a private eye. And all of this goes back to me protecting myself. That's what it goes back to. I got to protect my assets. I got to protect the fact that I'm making an investment in my future with somebody, and I'm allowing them inside parts of me. And let me be frank with you. I told this person everything. I told this person I was HIV positive. I told this person, you know, basically about my history, period. I was upfront about everything. So it wasn't like everything was out. And then even my gut said, why is it that you are always the one to get into a relationship and you're always the one to tell everything about you, but they hold on to shit about them? You always got to walk around guessing. You know, your life's an open book while you with one that's a closed book. Spirit started talking. You're not equally yoked. But I didn't listen, you know. So, again, the denial was, what I want to do is I want to hold on to this. Because it feels good to have somebody accept you for you. Really accept you for you. Accept you for, I mean, the acceptance goes so deep that they begin to accept you. And another thing, I got into this thing where, well, they're accepting me for who I am. They accepted me for who I am. Thank you. After a month, they didn't tell me they loved me. I have convinced them that we need to live together. When people ask me, Rodney, I haven't seen you on the set. Where have you been? I've been in school. It really ain't none of your fucking business where I've been. They have been my life. When I decide to make a meeting, I'm turned off by what I see and hear in the meetings because I'm not really attuned to the spiritual principles at this point because I'm so caught up in the grip of trying to protect me from what's going on in my home. I'm finally making a decision that I need to, like, my sponsor died, and I need to get over that, but it's really difficult to get over that, and I really ain't connecting with people about it and talking about it. So I'm still, see, denial is like one of those things. It's sort of like, have you ever seen Star Trek, and they got those things where it cloaks, and it's invisible, and then it appears again? That's kind of like how it is. It appears to be something that is not real. So I began to believe in stuff that really wasn't there. So in my mind, I was saying, I know this motherfucker is fucking around on me, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to get this spyware, since I can't afford a private detective, and I'm going to put the spyware on his computer, and I'm going to be able to tell everything that's going on. Now, y'all know how we are. That was the master plan. And I did it. I spent like $80 to find out what I needed to find out. Now, I have a very good job because of Narcotics Anonymous. I'm also in a master's program because of Narcotics Anonymous, so I got a full fucking plate. What the hell am I doing investing all my time in this? So I'm trying to go to school, do these papers that are due. I'm trying to take other people through the steps. Still not sharing with them what's going on with me. I'm trying to do all this stuff and not really get to the root of what's going on. Lynn talked about it. I have been, one thing that denial will do, it will build up a pillar of dishonesty. So I'm walking around in my home where I'm the only one paying the rent. Before I knew it, they didn't have a cell phone. Oh, join my plan. Now I'm the only one paying the cell phone bill. So I'm like, wait a minute, this shit is adding up. Okay, the rent is $8, the cell phone used to be $90, now the shit's $250. Job then gave me a raise. Oh, that's gonna help me take care of them. That's gonna help me to put the spyware on the computer. All of this is mere insanity. And I am living it inside my home by myself. So I get the spyware, I put the spyware on the computer, and I go to the computer, and let me tell you, I'm truly an addict, but Lynn put some shit on the table before y'all even got here, and I cannot blame it on my disease. Just some shit I like to do. I love that damn computer and what it can do, and when I find out, see, you know, my obsessions shift. My obsession shifted from, now I got to find out everything he's going to do to me so I can protect me. That became my life's purpose. I was obsessed. When I went to work, the computer did some damn shit. One day, because the way it's set up is, it'll shoot an email to you and tell you when they signed on, what site they were on. I can even find out their email address, the passcode. I was just caught up in the grip. You know what I'm saying? Found out all that shit. I started going through that shit. I was like, oh, look at the site he was on. Oh my gosh, he's sending naked pictures of himself. Oh, and all of a sudden, now I've become king. Cause now I'm walking around in the place looking at your ass like, yeah, I love you. Mm-hmm. Brought me roses to my job, and I'm just looking, you's a slimy ass motherfucker, but I'm gonna get you. Now, I know you're probably saying, how in the hell does this relate to denial? Quite easy, because there wasn't nothing recovering going on up in there. I was caught up in the grip of my obsession trying to protect Rodney from some shit. Now I can't even perform my job. I'm at the job, and I'm getting 50 emails. This motherfucker seeing this site, seeing that site, and I'm like, I'm supposed to be working. These people are paying me to work, and all I'm doing is, oh, gosh. Oh, and when I learned the passcode to his email address, and I found out who he had been emailing, it got rough. So my back was up against the wall, and I couldn't blame anybody. I couldn't blame anybody. And it's something when you sleep with somebody every single night, and y'all kissing and y'all doing y'all thing, and then you got to look at them in the face, and you know they're a liar, cheating, a thief. But here's the hit. You still with them. You ain't planning on going no fucking where, because all you really want is to be loved. And that's all I wanted. I just wanted to be loved so badly. So, I got busted. Yeah, I was sitting up on the computer, and I don't know about y'all, but honey, I'm a whiz. He was in his room, I was in my room, and he was on a site that I knew his ass shouldn't have been on because he's in a relationship, and he made the commitment. See, that's it. He said to me, we're going to leave that computer shit alone. I stuck to my commitment, so I expected you to stick to yours. Now, don't get it twisted. There ain't nothing wrong with that. Mm-hmm. We made an agreement. Where I lost that is I stopped trusting God to care for me. God wasn't nowhere in the picture. It talks about it in the first step in the basic text, distrust of others. Distrust of others had grown so big that I began to question even my coworkers. What the fuck he looking at? Does he want something from me? You know, even my boss, everybody. I just couldn't trust nobody because there was no trust in home. I was in some deep, dark duty. That's some heavy shit. Now I'm talking about this had been going on consecutively every day for 5 months. 5 months consecutively till I got busted. Now I would love to tell you that I had a spiritual awakening and my ass came out of denial. But when I got busted, that's when I came out of denial. When he said, I see you. And I tried to get off the screen real quick. Cause what I did is I became such a whiz that I decided to join the site that he had no business being on. But I found pictures of other people and made up a name and went on there so that I could pretend to be this other person. So what should we do as addicts, right? I told you I was caught up. So then I said, well, I'll pretend to be this person. I'll send him messages. Yeah, what's going on with you tonight? You know, try and see if he'll play it back. But he caught me on the screen. And I said, you know what? I'm glad this shit is over because the pain of carrying this outweighs way more than what I can handle anymore. Without using a sponsor, without making meetings regularly. And so I just went to him and I said, listen, man, I put some shit on your computer. And he felt his stuff, you know, he talked about, you know, how I violated his trust. And I got with my sponsor, and we had done some step work. And I don't know what happened, but to make a long story short, the relationship has not ended. But what has begun, because the denial, you know, was broken, and like I'm starting to really see reality, the blinders came off. I had to own some shit. I really did. And God began to put people in my life that I would listen to. Because I don't listen to everybody. I called my mother up and my mother was like, hey, what's going on? And she had met him. And I said, you know, ain't nothing really going on, Mama. And you know how sometimes you ask for people to listen to you and then you ask for feedback and they don't really want to give you feedback because they're afraid that it, you know, it may do something to the relationship. I bet Lynn's one of the type of people. I bet I could have came to her and she'd have put me straight. But my mother is one of those type of people. And she said, you know, and this is what brought me out of denial. She said, you know, Rodney, you're a very giving person. Why are you with somebody that's taking advantage of your kindness? When y'all came to visit me for Christmas, I'd have thought that was his motherfucking car. Why are you letting some person drive your car that you paid a car note for, the insurance for? Why? Now, if you're anything like me, when she first said that, if you got a man or a woman, whatever, like, that's my man. What the fuck you talking about, Mama? I can do what, hell, he can drive it from here to Kingdom Come. Feels good when I'm sitting on the driver's seat, knowing I'm paying the tab. Gives me a little power. Mm-hmm. Your ass ain't got shit. You driving my shit. You need to get some shit. But not wanting you to go. But wanting you to go. So, that helped me. that helped me to come out of it, you know. Then I decided I needed to join a home group. So I joined a home group. It's a step home group. Mm-hmm. 2 hours. I needed that because I need the steps. You know, me and my sponsor had gone over a step, some sponsees. Mm-hmm. I had either they had moved on or some I was even saying, I just want to let go. Because this is how much I was caught up. I didn't have time for your recovery. I didn't have time for you. I had to focus on protecting me. So when it all came down, you know, to it, I began to hit my knees again. And this time when I hit my knees, I have this prayer that I say. I say, God, you know, and I know. And I like that I can talk to God like this. You know, and I know that I ain't shit. You know, and I know, God, that when I get up from here, I'm still going to go and snoop. I got to snoop to make sure the motherfucker ain't doing what he said he ain't going to be doing. I have to know. I can't trust you on this one right now. You understand what I'm saying? I cannot trust you. And I just need to be honest with you, God. I ain't going to front on you. I ain't going to use drugs, but I ain't going to trust you. So, you know, I would try and snoop, and it wouldn't work. Because now my gut was saying to me, mm-hmm. You compromising. Mm-hmm. You don't have to snoop in your own home. Mm-hmm. You don't have to act like this in your own home. You talking about him disrespecting you. You disrespecting you. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? It's not his fault that you fell in love. Mm-hmm. That's not his fault. It's not his fault that that's your flavor. That's not his fault. I had to have relevant conversations with Rodney. I had to say some relevant shit. And we have this thing that we practice. We sit down and we eat at the table. And that's when my shit comes out. You know, because he's not in Narcotics Anonymous. And y'all tell me that I need to share my feelings, good, bad, and indifferent. So he liked to eat, and he likes to eat a good damn meal in peace. You know, like, oh, everything's peachy cream. That's when I always have my moment. And I go, well, you know. And it helps me to get out of denial. I say, you know, I need, because if you with somebody that will not allow you to speak, that's a dangerous place to be. Mm-hmm. Because you'll walk around in your own home silent, and the rage will come. And you liable to let out a catastrophe on your ass. Not on them, on you. I know the damage I could do to me. Let me tell you, I used to trick and hoe and slut on 13th Street in Philadelphia. I am grateful today that I could share with you that I know how to do one. I know how to stick with one. That's a miracle. And I learned that through blood, sweat, and tears in Narcotics Anonymous. I learned how to do that. So I'll be damned if I'm going to get with you now and think that I need to relapse. Because relapse isn't always going to a drug. Relapse is reverting back to a prior condition. I'll be damned if I'm going to come this far to go backwards. I'm just not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. So what I've begun to do, and I'll bring this down, what I've begun to do is I made a decision that through the first step, you know, that I just simply need to surrender. Whatever he's going to do, he's going to do. The company sent me, and here's the test. God has a master plan. The company had to send me to North Carolina last week, right? And he had my car for like 4 days. And let me tell you, I just told you what I went through with the computer, right? At first, I was fidgeting. I was like, this motherfucker gonna have my car, my brand new car for 4 days. I'm gonna be in North Carolina, handling my business, you know, doing what the, you know, company do. I'm gonna be there. And in my mind, it was like, why the cat's away, the mice gonna play. You know, some shit is going to be going on. Well, I thought I was coming back Thursday. Well, I found out I was coming back Wednesday. But I ain't tell him. So I ain't going to tell him I'm coming back Wednesday.
But God, in his infinite wisdom and his plan for Rodney, set it up to where a recovering addict went on a trip with me. Do you hear what I'm saying?
I can shout on that one.
Do you know that for the 4 days that I was there,
no, was it three?
3 days that I was there, we ended up making meetings. That gave me little time to worry. That gave me little time to worry about what was going on in my car while I was away. It gave me little time to think about who he was having in our bed. It gave me little time to think about that. And it gave me more time to think about what I needed to do for me. Ain't that something? And then I began to share with the recovering addict, whom I am not close to, in the therapeutic act and the therapeutic value of one addict helping another. Got me through. Now, I still had some shit with me. Because, you know, he thought I was coming back on Thursday. So I'm talking every day. Yeah, I see you Thursday. So I get back Wednesday, right? He not there. He at work. So I'm going in the garbage cans looking to see if I see condoms. See, the disease does not leave me, but I'm not going to blame this on my disease. I had already had this set up. Even while I was in the meeting, I was thinking, I wonder if that's, you know. So I get home, I look, I don't see nothing. I raise the covers, smell the sheets. I don't smell nothing. Start looking for spots, stains. You know, the shit was real. I don't see nothing. Start opening up cabinets and shit. Saw two dishes in the thing. Who the fuck been eating in here? You know, I just went there. Wasn't nobody. He gets home at 2 from work. A.M. Didn't know I was there. He saw the things. And see, this is where I got in contact with. This is where the spiritual awakening came. Now, you supposed to, I came home by surprise. I ain't find shit. So that means that, you know, everything's on the up and up. You ain't do shit. You know, I stopped doing the computer thing. I stopped snooping. So I really wasn't keen on that. But as soon as your ass seen me, it's supposed to be glory, glory, glory. How you doing, boy? I'm so glad. But it wasn't that. It was, oh, you home. Glad you made it safely. So you know my mind started playing tricks on me, right? Now, I shared all that to say, I came to find out there wasn't even nothing going on. It was all in my head. That's the mask that denial will do. It was all in my head. And even if it was going on, does that mean that I deserve to go out and treat myself to a bag of dope? And a bag of dope can be going back tricking. Mm-hmm. A bag of dope can mean that I can go spending all my money on, you know, every good. You know, a bag of dope can be anything today. But what I thank God for is the program of Narcotics Anonymous. I really do. I thank him for meetings at 1 a.m. in the morning where I can come and share the hope. Mm-hmm. Instead of us running, we just sit down now and come to the table. And instead of me being up in my head just for the day, I have to make a decision to surrender to the shit that goes on up in here daily with that so that I can get on with the business of life. Because I can't live my life when I'm caught up in the grip. That's why I thank God for the awakening. And that's what's been going on in the journey thus far. Thanks for letting me share.